Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. On this President's Day, we're asking, if you were president, what would you do to run the country? Joining me to talk about this are Lindsay Perry. She is a independent political pundit with attitude. And Nicole Williams, Democratic strategist and comedian Eddie Bryant. Lines are open. Want to hear from you. How would you run the country? What would your first 100 days look like? Give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ken, calling from D.C., what's on your mind?
Hey, folks, good evening.
Hey, how are you?
Well, just because I recently heard someone on the diet say something about a sugar ban, I've never went to my sweetheart and said, give me some of that NutraSweet. I want some sugar from my sweetheart.
So I'm sorry.
I'll go ahead and can that ban right there.
One of the first things
I would do is, even though it has to go through that legislative body, I would push for term limits. No more career politicians.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
How about that?
Okay.
Well, Ken,
got to go.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it.
No, go real quick. Go ahead.
Okay. Also, a thorough investigation of 9/11. That must be done, and cutting off the vast majority of ties with Israel, because the more money we give them, the more often we take their side.
So, interesting.
When there's an apartheid regime that's going.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Leo, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Leo. What's on your mind?
I would set up programs where we can get these people working and working on the infrastructure in this country, such as the roads and the bridges.
Yeah.
Also, that could be a 10-year program.
Will we get paid this time?
Wait a minute. Hold on. And allow free education that's paid for, allow those people who are working to get their education so that they can continue to progress, make progress, and contribute to society.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Leo. I appreciate that. You know what? I really, all jokes aside, only for like the next 30 seconds, but, you know, I really, really appreciate what Leo says, because we have seen all of these federal reports for the past several decades about roads, about bridges, about our at-home infrastructure, rural, suburban, urban. We do need to rebuild our country.
Absolutely.
And there are so many talented carpenters, bricklayers, surveyors, and people who work with their hands, whether you are living in Southeast Washington or the southeastern part of America or any other place. We do need to put people who work with their hands back to work.
That's right. And we need to provide more finances for programs for people who don't necessarily want to go to college to study, you know, medicine.
Right. Vocational training. We don't do that like we used to.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
My constituency called and said, if we get paid for the first time we did it, we'll go back and do it again. But We gotta fix the road, the whole White House, the monument, all of that was free labor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we gotta, you know, we put it
down. What about entrepreneurship? I'm not hearing too much about that. I mean, we focus so much on, you know, get a job, do this. But what about entrepreneurship? What about investing in ideas?
But I disagree with that. And this is why.
Disagree with what?
With what you just said, that we're not hearing so much about that. And you and I have a significant generational issue, because you are under 35. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell your age. I'm not going to put you out there like that. I'm over 50. When I was in college, you're right. That is the line that our parents shared with us, our professors shared with us. They didn't tell us to go out and start your own business. They told you get your degree, go to grad school, what have you, and get a good job.
Well, my parents didn't tell me that either. But the problem is, you have $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in student loan debt. You have a degree. You have multiple degrees. You can't get a job. So at the end of the day, you have to figure something out.
But before you cut me off, my point was that now young people, whether they are in college or not, are hearing more of that. They're not only hearing more of that from parents, from friends, from mentors,
but they're, I think they're also getting that message, you know, from social media. I think that right now we are raising a generation of people that are trying to be, you know, entrepreneurs,
true.
You know, whether they're trying to be, you know, the next Bill Gates or the, whether or not they're just trying to get their side hustle to help supplement their federal government job.
Right.
So I think, you know, I think that, that there is a groundswell of entrepreneurial spirit in America, particularly in the African-American community, that some could argue we've not seen since World War II.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But I definitely, my parents didn't tell me grow up and be an entrepreneur. You can grow up and be anything you want to be, but they told me to go to college, get a degree, make sure, you know, you can provide for your family. But at the end of the day, that's not the reality for a lot of millennials, because we followed that path and look where we are. So entrepreneurship is almost like a necessity, because you got to get it how you live.
That is the nature of the country. This is a capitalist society.
Absolutely.
So either you play or get played.
Absolutely.
Well, let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you were president, what would you do, Madam Vanessa, Madam President?
If I were president,
yes, from Pikesville.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead.
The first thing I would do is to forgive most of the student loans. I know it's a burden. Make sure equal rights and the voters' rights, voters' registration laws were the same across the country, to make sure that no one's ousted at all, and make sure women's rights are upheld. And something that the last caller said about the infrastructure, our roads, we have federal roads, and I know that a lot of states within, we are pretty much pretty lucky here in the DMV, because Virginia takes care of its roads, Maryland takes care of its roads, and D.C. takes care of its roads when it can, whenever the budgets are cut. And that's something we need to do. We don't need to see another bridge fall like what happened in Minnesota about 5 or 6 years ago with a school bus.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have that happen.
Yeah.
Okay, but the infrastructure has to be changed, and then we can take care of the things outside of the U.S. But we have to stabilize our country here. Invest in our schools. Education should not be the first budget to be eliminated on anybody's budget.
Absolutely.
Sure, okay. Sure. Vanessa, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Nicole, who would be your vice president if you had your druthers? And please do not say Frederick Douglass.
That's my man.
I can't say Frederick Douglass.
Mm.
Darn it.
Okay. Who would be my vice president?
Who would be your vice president?
Oh, my God. I don't even know. Okay, so
Beyonce.
I used to be a West Wing fanatic, and there was this one scene in the West Wing where President Bartlett said that your vice president should always also be your best friend, because you know your best friend is going to tell it to you like it is. So I would say it would probably be my best friend would be my vice president, because when I'm acting crazy, she's going to come to me like, okay, you know you acting crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just going to be like, no, we're not putting up with this. So, yeah.
She sounds boring. Let's talk about...
Oh, no, my best friend's crazy.
Okay, well, there you go. I feel so much better. So how would you build your cabinet? Secretary of State, Nicole.
Ooh, Secretary of State. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know. I agree with what Lindsay said earlier about having a diverse cabinet. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the children, but I definitely want to make sure, you know, whoever we have are people who have experience, people who are qualified in the various positions that we are appointing, you know, that my administration is appointing them to and sending to Congress for confirmation. In terms of Secretary of State, oh my goodness. You know what? I think I'd have Oprah as my Secretary of State.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right. There you go. I kind of like
everybody
that.
Loves Oprah. She gets along with everybody and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so yeah, Oprah. She's very diplomatic.
And she can't
well,
be
she
bought.
She got her makeup.
She can't be bought.
Yeah, there you go. Eddie, who Vice President, your Secretary of State.
Vice President, I'm going to go with my Uncle David.
Uncle David.
Don't get no straight shooter than that. And, you know, he packing. So if you if you mess with me, it's on. Secretary of State, I'm going to go with Jay-Z.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why Jay-Z?
Well, because I'm going to say Jay-Z because he's going to need to be employed. Beyonce already got a lot of jobs. So... people also know Jay, and so he is, and he knows how to manage money and relationships and make the best deal for him. So I figure he would be able to do that
for the union.
Okay. All right. And Lindsay, your vice president and secretary of state.
So my vice president would be my mother, because I know she has my back 100%. I know she won't let anyone touch me. I know she won't let anybody, you know, kind of come at me sideways. And she also is a very brilliant woman. And she... I see you over there. She's a very brilliant woman, and I know that she'll be very diplomatic. In terms of my Secretary of State, that would have to... I was going to say Beyonce, but he said Jay-Z, and it kind of doesn't have the same effect. But who doesn't love Beyonce?
Okay.
I
mean, you know, Beyonce is
a... She got pregnant.
Gianna.
Yeah.
That's a good one too. But I would say Beyonce. I know that, you know, regardless of the fact that she can get along with everyone in the world, but everyone loves Beyonce. I mean, breaks the internet every time she does something. Okay. She can break a nail.
Get on the elevator.
My vice president would be Michelle Obama.
Okay.
I think Michelle Obama would make a great vice president.
And a great president.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, we can talk about that, too. Yeah. Secretary of State Samuel L. Jackson. I have nothing else to say. Let me go back. Let me go back to the phone lines. Hey, what's in your wallet? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you were president, how would you run the country? What would you do? Let's go to Jason. Jason, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. If I were president, the first thing I would do, I would make sure that all prison sentences were fair and equal. So I would just have someone reevaluate all the prison sentences. And after a person has actually served their time, when they went to apply for jobs, you know, that part on the application that says, are you a felon? I would have that part taken away. Because if you served your time, you're not a felon. Unless you are, and unless you're a rapist or a child, a molester, that you would have to register. But you are no longer a felon if you served your time. That's one. Number two, I would actually make sure that teachers are paid properly.
Yes.
And number three,
yes.
I would not allow sports teams to dictate to states that if you want a new stadium and you're a sports team, you actually have to fund that stadium yourself, because I don't think it's right for taxpayers to actually have to fund stadiums for sports teams when a large portion of that community or state will never be able to go to that stadium to see a game.
Okay.
That's
those are the
point.
Three things I would do. And the fourth thing is health care would be for everyone. So if you need prescriptions, you need a surgery, and your qualifier for that would be you could not have health care if you did something that you should have, that could have been prevented.
What do you mean? But what do you mean by that?
I'm going to explain that
real quick. I've got a lot of folks on the line, so I don't understand.
So the young lady in your studio was talking about sugar.
Okay.
Well, all people who eat sugar aren't diabetics.
That's true.
But what I'm saying is, if you are a diabetic and your doctor says you need to change your diet and you refuse to change your diet based off a doctor's instructions, you will be responsible for your own health care at that point because you have refused to listen to medical advice.
You were doing really fine, Jason, and then you messed up.
He lost me right there. I don't, because sometimes you don't trust your doctor.
Right.
You ever seen... the Tuskegee experiment.
And it's not funny, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can see that now. It's like, you know, I told you don't use the lawnmower because you can't see, and then you get a toe cut off because of the blade. Well, I told you not to use the lawnmower.
I think it's about what we're putting in some of the...
Yeah, and so now you can't come in and have surgery, emergency surgery. there is a trial and error period,
right,
you know, for the presidency as well. So that's your first 100 days. Jason, thank you so much. When we come back, we're going to talk to Valeda, calling from Red Lane, or she may be in Red Line, California. We're going to talk to Sun, calling from Virginia, and Kim, calling from D.C. What would you do if you were president? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. On this President's Day, we continue with our conversation. Answer this question. If you were president, what would you do to run the country? Let's go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Is it Valeda? Valeda?
Yes, it's Valeda.
Valeda, where in California are you calling from?
I am in Redlands, California.
Redlands. Okay, Redlands, California. Where is that near?
That is about 12 miles from Palm Springs and about 65 minutes, 1 hour away from Los Angeles.
Okay, so, Madam President, what...
Yes, sir.
Yes, what would you do... You're in a press conference right now. You've got the seal right there, and I stand up. What are you going to do as president? This is your first day.
My first day, we're going to tackle education, first and foremost, across the board. Education, anyone that has finished high school and chooses to go to college will be able to go to college of their choice as long as they maintain their grade point average. They would not have to worry about paying tuition costs. Now, if you fell below your grade point average, then you would have to look at paying the cost of your education. So you'd have to maintain a grade point average to keep from paying your educational costs.
So who, but Madam President, I do have a question about that. Since you're in California, let's say this student wants to go to UCLA at $65,000 a year for free. How do we pay for that?
Yes.
Well, it won't be free because that's where we'll see our tax dollars actually being used rather than having our tax dollars used on infrastructure that are not completed or on wasted money sitting there. As they say, their tax dollars are sitting right now with the government that have not been used. They do not know what to do with it, unclaimed. We now know what to do with it.
Okay.
So we will continue to have that money available for these students. There's going to be a pot for that money completely. And if we don't have one, we're going to have one.
Okay.
Just like you can assign jobs at different companies. You didn't have a position there before. Well, we created a position. Now we're going to create a position for students in our country that want to go to school, go to college. That's, if we have more students graduating from college, this world would be a better place, be less crimes, more educated people that can educate others, more jobs would be available. They would have their own businesses. And secondly,
you can start a business without going to college, though. You don't.
I'm sorry?
You can start a business without going to college.
Yes, ma'am, you sure can. But we will want them to educate themselves so once they do have their business, they will be able to know how to maintain it, establish it, and do further things with their education.
Do we need college for that, though? Or can we set up specific initiatives and programs to teach, to kind of fast-track that? Do we need to spend $65,000 to do that?
You know what? There would be programs that we could set up for that as well. We would have that program available. That's what I was saying initially, that we would have a program already set up where the funds would go into that, and it would be used for the students that want to go to college.
Okay. And don't forget, in Valeda's defense, she said every student who graduated who graduates from high school, if they choose to go.
Okay.
So she didn't say it wasn't mandatory.
Right,
she said if they choose to go.
She said so that they can start businesses. And I just made the comment that you can start a business without choosing to go to college.
But if you choose to go to college and you want to start your business,
you can do that as well.
Because you're not going to build the wall to keep them out of college.
I have my own business.
You won't stumble block if you know you've got all the tools lined up in the education that will even make your business even greater.
Okay. Well, Valeda, thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate your call from the West Coast. I want to ask our panel, because one of the things that we have seen during the Trump administration, it's certainly very, very different, not only from the Obama administration, but also from the Bush administration, that the president has spent actually very little time in the White House. The First Lady, Melania, has spent almost no time in the White House. Mm-hmm. So, Nicole... would you be living in the White House, or would you just kind of rent a two-story walk-up?
I would be living in the White House. Live in the White House. The house that has been built by my ancestors off of that free labor, yes, I would be sitting right up in there, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what about the first man, what would you have the first man do?
He would be in the White House too, and he would be in charge of making sure the state dinners go well and the entertainment is on point when we are, you know, entertaining guests. You know, when the Prime Minister of Britain comes over, or you know, the King of Sweden decides to pop by. You know,
pop by,
just pop by.
I don't know, the way things are going right now, I'm not sure the King of
down
Sweden
to the,
really
the first basement down there.
Right. He have all the NFL games on, you know.
Okay, so Eddie, would you be living in the White House? And what about your first lady?
My whole family is moving in because they're going, huh? You know Eddie got the White House over there right now. We all can move in there. So we going in there. My wife coming. And it's going to be a nice time. I'm also doing the executive order all 4-day weekends for the rest forever.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I like 4-day
like
weekends. Yeah. Okay.
Like
and what about you?
So I would let the country think that I was staying in the White House, but I would not stay there.
Why not?
I would stay because the energy. It's just, you know, I like the energy from the past administration, but the energy of the White House and all the different.
You don't want to sleep on the pillow with a thought.
I just don't want to stay in the White House. I just don't. It's old and. You know, I know my ancestors built it. I love it. I would let other people stay there, spend a night there, you know, maybe even host some homeless people to stay there. But I would live somewhere else.
You just have a thing against federally subsidized housing.
No. Section 8. I grew up on Section 8. So, no, that's not. I don't have a problem with federally subsidized housing. But I wouldn't stay there. I would want to stay somewhere else.
You can feng shui the energy. I mean, you know, you can get some people, redo the curtains. And
Michelle had no sage or none of that. She was all in there.
I don't want to stay there. And I doubt it if anybody really stays there. That's a conspiracy. I don't like everyone knowing where I live in the first place. So that's just what that is. I'm just private like that.
That sounds like it. Let me go back to the phone line. Boy, this show just took a turn. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Kim. Kim calling from D.C. Kim, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have two philosophies or two things that I would try to implement.
Mm-hmm.
The first is I used to work with teen moms, and one of the things that I saw was kind of a repetitive cycle of poverty and in many cases, it's helplessness and feeling of hopelessness.
Yes.
So what I would like to see happen is, you know, kids, young people, old people make mistakes. And children, having children out of wedlock is not a mistake. But so what I want to say is I would like to help people who are in those predicaments be able to move out of them. And the way I would see doing that is, say you're a teen mom and you have a baby before you're 18, 21 years old, we should help you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But when you have your second and third before you're 21, then my recommendation is we partner with big businesses like Lockheed Martin, district government, whomever, and we incentivize people now to go back into the workforce. So the families would go to an employer. That is where they would work for 25, 30 hours a week. Because we still want them to be responsible parents, right? We don't want them working 16, 20 hours a day and still being, you know, being not able to care for their kids. But you would actually work your 30 hours, Safeway, wherever it is, and then the government would give Safeway, Lockheed Martin, the money, and you would pick up your check like you and I.
Okay, so wait a minute.
That's called TANF.
I mean that. That does sound like TANF, like. You know, temporary assistance. Okay, so.
But you don't have to go to. You do not have to go to any employer to work.
I'm confused.
What do you do?
You must be in a work program or in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not in school, and what a lot of the young people do.
So who's paying you? Is the government paying you, or is Lockheed Martin and Safeway and all of these other businesses, are they paying you?
It would be somewhat modeled after Marion Barry's youth employment program, where the government would give the businesses
grant money,
a paycheck for you for the hours that you put in, but not just a I'm going to school for 3 hours and so then I get you know, my check.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I think that's important is a lot of times people have gotten into such a situation where they don't feel like they're worthwhile anymore.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
Yes, I get my check. Yes, you know, that's great. But they don't see anything else. I mean,
okay.
I've again worked with young
people. I had the Manberry job.
Kim, thank you. I appreciate your effort, Madam President, and I appreciate it. So thank you so much for your phone call, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Son, calling from Virginia. What's on your mind?
Hello. My name is Sam.
Okay.
And I would like basically to touch on those two issues. The previous caller mentioned a bit of that, and there's another one of your panelists. She said she would take children from here to Ghana.
Yes.
Literally see the difference how children here may be lacking.
Okay.
I would like to also mention that...
Son, I've got 30 seconds for you because we're running down on time. So what do you suggest?
Let me be quick, okay? There are two things that children need most, love and security. There is a difference between material things and intangible things like love and security, which is lacking a lot. I would change the system here of education where children, when they go to middle school, they're in a boarding school. They have the same uniform. Everything is catered for. And make sure we have not agrarian system where you have summers for being free, because that system was set for what? Agriculture, where summer was to harvest.
Son, I got to let you go. But thank you so much for sharing. And I want to thank my presidents. Also, my co-presidents here. Absolutely. Nicole Williams, Eddie Bryant, and Lindsay, Miss Attitude Perry.
Lindsay Ray Perry, by the way.
Lindsay Ray Perry.
You have a little fire. You know?
Yeah, well,
just a little feisty. That's all.
Put some butter on that burn.
You like it.
There we go. Look, thank you all so much. That is